from the scriptures concerning light and darkness, the beginning of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. From the beginning of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. From John's Gospel. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. From the prophet Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From the words of Jesus. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The first scripture reading is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 11th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. The little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In that day, the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant of that remains of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea." This ends the prophecy of Christ, the conception of the Savior. From Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. His name was to be Emmanuel. From Matthew chapter 1, the 18th chapter, or the 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. And as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Concerning the birth of Jesus, from the second chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 1. "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Reading from Luke, the second chapter, beginning at verse 8. "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My text is not a traditional one for Christmas, but then this really has not been a traditional kind of year. From the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Speaking about Abraham and his journey to another land, the author of Hebrews writes in the 11th chapter at verse 10, "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, and whose designer and builder is God." And then speaking of both Abraham and others who died in the faith. These all died in the faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is our text. So where do you call home? Through all my life, that title has gone to a number of different places. For most of my life, until the time I was married, it was White Bear Lake, Minnesota. Well, I lived in downtown St. Paul, going to college there, and then in St. Louis, going to seminary there. But especially when it came time for the holidays, for things like Thanksgiving and Christmas, I went home. That's where my parents lived. Later, after I got married, I called home Emmett, Idaho for a little while. It's just outside of Boise. My son Daniel was born there. We moved then to Mount Pleasant, Iowa, and lived there for several years. My son Jonathan was born there. Then we moved to Davenport, Iowa. Spent 10 years living in that city. My daughter Kirsten was born there. And then we, in 1998, moved here to Cedar Rapids, where I was to serve as pastor of Zion Lutheran Church here in Hiawatha, to this very day. And so for better than 20 years, we have called this place home. By the way, we decided not to have any children here. We decided to have grandchildren instead. But particularly while my mother was alive, White Bear, and more specifically their house, because they did move a couple of times, had a special place in my heart, as home. We would make a pilgrimage there just after Christmas every year. You see, it was my mother's birthday on December 27th. So the ritual was we'd have Christmas Eve at our house. Then we'd go over to Grandpa and Grandma's living here in Cedar Rapids, Chris' parents. And then we'd take off for White Bear Lake to be with my mom on her birthday. And when we got up there, we'd celebrate Christmas. And on the tree were all the decorations that I remembered from my childhood. There was one that I called my own. It was kind of a frosty thing. It had bands of white frost and then blue frost and then red frost. And then it kind of repeated. It actually wasn't purchased by my mother. It was one that I eyeballed when I was a small child. And we'd make the pilgrimage to my mom and dad's home, to Wittenberg, Wisconsin. And we'd be with my aunt and uncle and cousins, and grandma and grandpa. She had that ornament on her tree. And I remember as a small child just falling in love with it. I'd want to touch it and play with it. And then somewhere around the age of 5, maybe 6, my aunt one day just took it off the tree and said, "Here, you take this home with you." And I did. And it was on our tree from that day forward. And only I could place it on the tree. My brother had a special ornament too. It was a peacocky looking type of thing, except it was red, and it had bristly red feathers coming out the back end. And then there was a special set of ornaments. They were old. They weren't necessarily the prettiest on the tree, but to my mother, they were very special. She bought them their first Christmas together, my mom and dad. Things were extraordinarily tight financially then. And as my dad was putting up the Christmas tree, he started to act frustrated. I was just a twinkle in their eye at that point in time. And he looked at my mom, as the story goes, and he said to her, "We need some more bulbs." And with the last few dollars in her purse until payday, she went down to the local store. And she bought a package of 6 ornaments, brought them home, showed them to my dad. At least for a few moments, as the story goes, there was no twinkle in my dad's eyes. I needed light bulbs. When we would get up to White Bear, and I and my children and my wife would gather around the tree with my mom and dad present. Though there are many places I've called home through the years, there was a special sense in which I felt at home. Many people have had those kinds of feelings before, but this year they seem to be missing for far too many people. There's those in senior care living facilities. It might be a nursing home. It could just be assisted living or independent care, as my own father-in-law is living at this time. And they're locked down. Typically, they would be going home at this time, home to be with family, friends, but not this year. Some of you come tomorrow or the next day or maybe even yesterday or today, might have been traveling, like I did as a child, going home for Christmas, be with grandpas and grandmas. This year you can't go home. Then there's even those just living in town with family around that they've been seeing for a while. But oh, just the day after the last day of school, you got a phone call at the house. Little Johnny's best friend at school. Well, he just came down with COVID. You can't go anywhere because you're in quarantine for the next 10 to 14 days. Yeah, going home has been hard this year. But in one sense, we've never really been home at all. Not this Christmas. Not since thousands of years before, when the home that God had built for man was destroyed. Not by the winds of a derecho storm that suddenly came up, but by sin, brought into the world by man himself, and death that came with it, destroying the home that God originally built for us. A home where love was always present. Hatred didn't exist. A home where there was no arguing or anger or war. Because peace reigned. A home where there was nothing like divorce, abandonment, or abuse. Because faithfulness, commitment, a reflection of God's faithfulness and commitment to us, governed the hearts of man who was created in God's image. Now, that home that God had created for us to live in was destroyed. But on the day of its destruction, God determined that one day he would build another home for us. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the words of prophet Isaiah. God took his only son and asked him to come into this world to rebuild that home that we destroyed. He did it by taking on our human flesh and then going to the cross. And in his own flesh, paying the price that it took to rebuild God's house. He humbled himself to death, even death on the cross. But because he was both God and man, he was able to rise from the dead, and through our union with him, we can rise too. He promises that when this life comes to its conclusion in this world of sin and sorrow, He will raise us up. Through His forgiving love, that new creature we will be will have put off the anger, the hatred, the war, the faithlessness, and be clothed in the same righteousness with which Christ is clothed. And it will bring us to home, to be with Him, to live with Him and serve with Him in everlasting righteousness and innocence and blessedness. This is what our Lord and Savior came to earth to do. And He makes that work of His explicit. As He gathered His disciples one last time prior to His death on the cross, in John 14, we read these words from Jesus. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Will take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yes, we want all to be able to go home. But home is not ultimately to be found in this present earth. Our home is in the Father's house, gathered together with our friend and brother, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for all who long to be home, Christ promises that if we put our faith in Him, one day we will be home for Christmas, and for the rest of our lives. My mother passed away near Christmas. And as her days on this earth became quite short, we gathered as a family to be with her, to worship together one last time as a family with our mother until we met her again in heaven. We sang a couple of familiar hymns. We read scripture. I struggled to get a little devotion out. We closed the service with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. And then the blessing. And I remember so well what took place shortly after I spoke the words of blessing. Though my mother at that point in time hardly spoke anything, though her body had wasted away, she looked up and she, with a smile on her face, said, "Can I go home now?" And we all knew she was not thinking of the place on Orchard Lane or the place on Juniper. the Galtier Plaza where they lived for a little bit. She wanted to go home. Home to Christ. Shortly before Christmas, she did. We sang this hymn at her funeral. It's based on the words that I read briefly at the beginning of our sermon from Hebrews 11. You might know this one. It's frequently sung at funerals. I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear. Heaven is my home. Danger and sorrow stand around me on every hand. Heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home. We all want to be home for Christmas. God's promise to all you, near and far, is that one day he will come again. Not to give his life this time, to take us home, where we will be in the Father's house together forever. It is the gift of that Savior, Jesus, that we gather together tonight to remember. And God grant that one day we will all gather together again in our eternal home to sing his praises evermore. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.